Well, we'll have occasion to talk about Renaissance humanists, Renaissance scholars, on quite a number of occasions in the lectures that will follow this one. And then actually in some later lectures, we'll look precisely at the Italian Renaissance itself. For now, I just want to plant a seed, and the seed basically is that the idea that this period, this late antique period, was one of unrelieved gloom, a period of decline, was born in the 14th and 15th centuries. And we therefore need not believe what those people said about it. Now, it's also true that many people's understanding of this world, of this late antique world, has been conditioned by Edward Gibbon. You may just remember that I quoted a passage from Edward Gibbon about how wonderful the Pax Romana had been. This is where he begins his magisterial Decline and Fall of the Roman Empire, the first volume of which was published in 1776, along with, interestingly, Adam Smith's Wealth of Nations, which was published in 1776. And there may even have been one or two other things that happened in 1776, but they needn't occupy us here. In Gibbon's Decline and Fall of the Roman Empire, written as a sort of an elegant, educated Englishman of the 18th century, he discerned, Gibbon did, two basic kinds of forces operating in the Roman world. In the first place, Gibbon spoke of immoderate greatness. Immoderate greatness. Now, what Gibbon meant by immoderate greatness, basically, was that the Roman Empire was simply too large, too complex, too many challenges. No one could have kept it together for a very long time. So from this point of view, Gibbon was really saying, yes, the empire had internal contradictions. Yes, it had serious problems. But we really shouldn't blame this on anybody. It isn't somebody's fault that the Roman Empire fell. There was no single person who sort of did it. There were just grave internal problems in the Roman world that could not be solved over the very long haul. But then Gibbon also said that barbarism and superstition brought low the Roman Empire. Now, by barbarism, he meant the barbarian invasions, all right? We're going to talk about the barbarian invasions, so-called. We're actually going to demonstrate there wasn't any such thing. But anyway, we're going to talk about them in our next lecture. And Gibbon then turned to superstition. So barbarism and superstition brought low the Roman Empire. By superstition, he meant Christianity. We'll talk about Christianity, not in the next lecture, but in the two after that. All right? Now, one of the things that's rather interesting about the way Gibbon framed the problem, immoderate greatness, barbarism, and superstition, is that he did lay down an agenda which today's historians, even those historians who don't talk about a fall of the Roman Empire, but who speak about late antiquity, still discuss. That is to say, Gibbon drew attention to internal affairs in the Roman world, and then he drew attention, in a sense, to external forces. Now, he saw barbarism and superstition as external. We're going to sort of tweak those notions in the lectures that follow this one and ask to what extent they were external or internal. But the idea is that we can look inside the Roman world for understandings of change, and then we can look at things that happened, as it were, to the Roman world and think about change. So even if we wouldn't quite get the same answers that Gibbon did, it is interesting now that more than two centuries after he wrote, we still in some ways follow his agenda. The critical point today, I think, is this. It is much commoner for historians to speak of the transformation of the Roman world, of continuity and change working in tandem, of slow, sometimes almost imperceptible, alterations in age-old patterns of life. So we don't think in terms of abrupt, direct, calamitous change. Historians are pretty suspicious of talking about change in that way. Great, important changes don't happen overnight. They happen over long periods of time. Many forces contribute to them. They influence large numbers of people in diverse and often in unpredictable kinds of ways. Now, my point, quite simply, is that no one would be so foolish as to pretend that the world in about 700 was exactly like the world in about 300. A lot changed. A lot changed. But what we're going to try to focus on is this process of change without thinking of calamitous moments, places, times of fall. Now, even if we think of fall, however, This poses for us a kind of an interesting conundrum. Exactly what do we mean by that? If we say the Roman Empire fell, let's suppose we believe that it did. What does that mean?